Morning, y'all. We are going to be in Psalm 130 for a moment and then transition into Luke 19. After that, we have been talking about God's great love and mercy, and we will continue to do that this morning and a couple weeks ahead. And it's really good to be with y'all. This really matters this morning. Father's Day. I had a birthday recently. Jason had a birthday this week. He's 36. He probably didn't want me to tell you all that, but I'm a couple years older than him, so I can. And it just kind of flies by, doesn't it? At best, life is short. My dad told me that one day, and I remembered it. It's a good thing to remember. At best, life is short. And I don't take for granted that you're sitting here this morning. Everybody that would call us Fellowship on Broadway, their worship service, if y'all all showed up, we wouldn't fit in this room. But somehow we fit most weeks, and that's because life is busy and short and busier and shorter and busier. And it's just so much going on. And yet, I saw a family this morning, a little coffee shop I was in. They came in. Both their boys had their baseball uniforms on. They were going to play baseball. So early in the morning, and you know, not going to church. Maybe they went to church last night. Maybe they went to church on Thursday. Things are changing entirely. And yet we show up here, and you're here, and it matters. And I don't take it for granted, and I hope you don't as well, because what we look into the Word and find is the most important of things. It's really that which undergirds all things. So for a couple of moments today, let's hear the Scripture together. And hear how God's love and God's mercy rescues us as we continue to consider that together this morning. Psalm 130. Out of the depths, I cry to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, so that you may be revered. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning, more than those who watch for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is great power to redeem. It is he who will redeem Israel from all its iniquities. Luke 19, verses 1 through 10. He entered Jericho and was passing through it. A man was there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he couldn't because he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and he climbed a sycamore tree to see him because Jesus was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. So he hurried down and was happy to welcome him. All who saw it, though, began to grumble and said, he has gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner. Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, Lord, look, half of my possessions I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much. Then Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and save the lost. So God rescues us. In Psalm 130, it says, but there is forgiveness with you so that you may be revered, Lord. And it's important, I think, the psalmist is onto something, an important way for us to realize how this rescue happens in our lives. It doesn't happen because we're good enough. It doesn't happen because we say the right words in the right prayer. It doesn't happen because we store up enough treasure along the way and then all of a sudden we cash in and we get Jesus. No. It happens in spite of how much we fall short of Jesus. And the psalmist gets it right here. There's forgiveness with you so that you may be revered. God rescues. Then out of that love and mercy that changes us, then we obey. We'll get back to that. But if you take this psalm and if you apply it to this story of Jesus' encounter with Zacchaeus, I think it can be broken down like this. So stay with me for just a second. Zacchaeus is a lonely man. He has great riches, but those riches are not doing it for him. So out of the depths, he cries out to the Lord. It seems that he is coming to terms with his brokenness, with the way that he has abused his community, with the way that he continues to abuse his community. And he's becoming aware, I think, that he is in need of salvation. And he believes that this salvation, this forgiveness, it belongs to the Lord. It can come to him through the Lord, and he is determined to get it. His hope seems to shift from his own riches to the Lord's steadfast love and mercy, the Lord's great power to rescue him, the Lord's great power to redeem him. Maybe you guys know people who are good at making money. Maybe you are among those people. You know who I'm talking about. I have never been good at making money. I've tried at times. Early in my adult life, I had stints trying to sell things. Maybe you know some of the businesses that you can get hooked up in. Gosh, what did I do? I think Leslie and I tried to sell Arbonne, those makeup products. That didn't go well. There was a time we tried to sell Monavie. You may remember that. That was when the acai berries exploded. They found them in Brazil, and the whole world changed, and they bottled them into these bottles in this really nasty life drink, and we tried to sell those. And I think we sold 4 bottles of those. And then for a while, I was a sports agent. And while that was a lot of fun, that went about as well as the acai berry bottles. None of which I wasn't good at those things. I never really had a product or service that I was responsible for selling to you that I was very excited about, that I believed in very much. Zacchaeus, y'all, was good at making money. He, the text says, is a chief tax collector, a chief publican. He was rich, but these riches had gotten the better of him, where we find him in our story today. But mind you, money's not evil. Worshiping money is. But behind every organization that does great work in our world, the NGOs, the not-for-profits, there are people who make money that give to those organizations. Money is not evil. But Zacchaeus' relationship with money was complicated, and it had become evil. Jericho was a province of Rome, and Rome's program to exact taxes from this province of Jericho was to allow groups of businessmen, companies, to bid for the right to collect that money. These companies offered Rome security. They would be responsible for getting it and getting it to Rome as they promised to pay the treasury a certain amount. But these businessmen would not be the ones to collect. They would hire subcontractors, employees. And it seems that where Zacchaeus falls in this is that he was the one hiring the people to collect the taxes. So while he might not have been going door to door, however that worked out, the town knew who he was. He was the one that sat on his back porch all day and drank sweet tea and collected the checks from those who were out doing the work for him. So he had a complicated relationship with the community. Here was this Jewish man profiting off of the Roman Empire that was crippling the people. Now, we don't know very much, anything about Zacchaeus' private life, but we do know this much on principle. You cannot be whole, you cannot be well, you cannot be a rescued person when you are participating in and profiting from a program that robs and crushes other persons. Not only does it crush others, it will ultimately crush you. Living outside of how God would have us live, it always results in our own death eventually. Such thinking has crippled the church in many ways for the 2,000 years of our existence, especially where individualism dominates community. We've seen that at play this week. I mean, it's such a complicated issue, what's going on the southern border of the United States. And it's one of those vacuums on social media that's exploding and causing us to get angry with one another. The only thing I'll say about that this morning is, at the very least, we are called to see one another as human. And Zacchaeus, he lost this along the way somewhere. I remember early in Leslie Ann and I's marriage, she was RN at Vanderbilt, and she was at the children's hospital. And Jorge had come into the children's hospital. He actually had cancer and was very sick. And Jorge was from Guatemala City. He was here as an illegal alien working to make money for his family to send back to his family. And the hospital came to understand that not only would they have a hard time finding his family, they would have a hard time finding his family in time to let them know that he was actually not going to make it. But what Vanderbilt did was so cool. I'll never forget this. They got Jorge back to Guatemala City, sending a nurse with him, got in contact with his family, who came and met them in the city after they got there to take Jorge back home, where he eventually died with his family. And I thought about this story this week when I realized how many of those who are at the border and being separated for whatever reason from their families, how many of them are coming from Central America. That's a thing we have going on today, is families are leaving their countries where they don't see a way forward for them to live and be well there, and they're coming here. It seems to me that the church, our thinking should be that we focus on how we can meet the needs that cause people to not be able to be where they're from, where the pain is in those Central American countries. There's pain here as well. There are families that would risk losing their children by coming here. This is what I thought about this week as I'm connecting these stories, because Zacchaeus is profiting off of the community in a way that's destroying his community. And it's leaving him extremely lonely, as we mentioned. It leaves him where nobody likes him. The community literally hated him. No wonder he had to climb the tree just to see where Jesus. I imagine them trying to keep him away. N.T. Wright says, they would have been horrified to think that of all the inhabitants of the town, he would have been the one known by name to millions of people 2,000 years later. And this was not their favorite person. Last week, we saw a woman, as we looked into the text in Mark 5, we saw a woman who had been ill for 12 years, who had been bleeding for 12 years, overcome the crowd by pushing them out of the way to get to Jesus to grab onto his clothes. And this week, we see Zacchaeus trying to overcome the crowd as well by climbing a tree, and it worked, our text teaches us. And here we have Jesus encountering Zacchaeus and Zacchaeus encountering Jesus. See, Jesus had been around folks like Zacchaeus. Matthew was a tax collector, Matthew the apostle. Jesus called him out of that lifestyle to come and follow him. Jesus knew what Zacchaeus' situation was. He knew he was lonely. He knew he was hated by the masses, but Jesus had great love for Zacchaeus because Jesus loved everybody. Jesus had great mercy for Zacchaeus. Jesus knew how sick he was. He knew the allure of money and power. He knew how Zacchaeus was prone to let greed and power get the better of him, and how public opinion deemed him a nasty, vile sinner. And yet Jesus anyway says, hey, I'm going to come hang out with you tonight. You need to open your home to me. And this became really bad PR for Jesus. Look at verse 7. All who saw it began to grumble and said, he has gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner. Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, look, half of my possessions, Lord, I'll give to the poor. And if I've defrauded anyone, anything, I'll pay back four times as much. See, Zacchaeus has spent his adult life accumulating things. He is a successful businessman. He collected things, and folks looked at him with both admiration, like, wow, this guy really knows how to collect things, and jealousy, and they hated him for it. And now he was gazing upon Jesus as something that he wanted, and he really didn't know exactly how to get it. Zacchaeus has everything one could want, you would think. And we find him in this story wanting Jesus. You see, I asked you today, because I've asked myself all week, who receives the kingdom? Who is it that receives the kingdom? Well, it's those who are invited. Those who are invited by Jesus. And Zacchaeus is invited by Jesus to take him home with him. Jesus says, I'm going to invite myself over for dinner. That's something my parents taught me not to do. But in doing so, and in Zacchaeus getting it, you know, having the vision to see that this is exactly what he should be doing, to extend hospitality, which may not have been his MO otherwise, because I don't know that he would have assumed that anybody would have wanted to go home with him the way he was treated. But Zacchaeus lets him come home, and Jesus says, today salvation has come to this house, because he too is the son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost. And Zacchaeus was lost, but on their way to his house, he was being found, And it is an incredible picture that I pray that you and I will be in that scene someday with Jesus if we haven't been already, that we will be transformed by being invited by Jesus, by meeting with him, and by being willing to spend that time with Jesus to be changed. Zacchaeus is given by Jesus the opportunity for transformation, and it demands something from him. And when you're given the opportunity for transformation, it's going to demand something from you too. It's going to demand obedience. It's going to demand that your life is changed. You see, Zacchaeus was a certain way, pretty scummy, and then he met Jesus, and he was changed. See, repentance is not just a change of heart. Repentance is complete restoration. It's making amends. It's making things new. It's a fresh start. Zacchaeus offering to pay back, to stop defrauding people, that was a part of his restoration. He had to be different. Because when you encounter God's love and mercy, you know, dadgummit, you become more loving and merciful. And if you don't, I don't think you encountered God's love and mercy. Jesus is helping us see how wide and how deep his love and mercy is. And there is no one that is outside of this mercy. In the previous story, in Luke 18, Jesus had just been with a blind man. And the man was begging by the side of the road. The man had no friends. Many actually believed that his blindness was a result of his sin or his parents' sin or somebody else's sin. But he yelled out to Jesus, "Son of David, Lord, have mercy on me." The crowd shushed him. But he yelled even louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus recognized his faith and actually said to him, your faith has saved you. And he restored his sight. And it says the man immediately regained his sight and followed Jesus. He was blind. He met Jesus. Then he could see. Then he was different. The 12-year-old girl from last week's text was to the point of death. And then she met Jesus. And then she was changed. She was made alive. The woman with the 12-year hemorrhage, she met Jesus. And then she became well. These are examples of folks who, like the psalmist in 130, said they cried out from the depths of where they were. And they asked God to hear their cries and to save them. Because when we meet Jesus, it changes us. It just does. But transformation requires a response. If we're going to be a community here at Nashville First Baptist Church who has met Jesus and has been changed by it, then we need to look like that. We need to be people who the community looks at us and says, they follow Jesus. What scriptures say about Jesus, what we learn from Jesus in this story and his encounter with Zacchaeus and all the other things that the gospels say about how Jesus lived, who he was, we need to resemble that. Because Zacchaeus being saved is not a private conversion. Jesus says his household is involved. And because of the way he had defrauded and hurt the community, him becoming different in his position was going to actually improve the community. And so the whole community is involved. To be saved is to be made well. And in this case, as it would be in any of our cases, it has huge ripple effects. And what it does is it foreshadows the very reign of God when creation will be rescued, restored, redeemed, and made well. When all that cries out from the depths, all that has to climb a tree to get away from the crowd that keeps us from seeing Jesus, to see Jesus, when all of us are made well. There was a pastor in Columbia, Tennessee, a few years ago, pastor of the largest church in town, very successful pastor, but he could not get over how many problems filled his church. He got so sick and tired of all the problems the people had. They just sinned all the time. So he wanted to quit. He wanted to move to a little piece of land out in Arkansas and build his own church. Now, his own church would have been just him and his study in his house, a grand bookcase, all of his books, and that'll be it. No sanctuary, no Bible studies, no fellowship hall, no members, just him and God. Zacchaeus' story teaches us that doesn't work. We can't do that because we are members of one another. It's just the way it is. One of my favorite stories that Wendell Berry told was called The Wild Birds. And as Burley Coulter says in The Wild Birds, we are members of one another, all of us, everything. The difference ain't in who is a member and who's not, but in who knows it and who doesn't. What has been here, not what ought to have been, is what I have to claim. I have to be what I've been and own up to it. No secret faults, because before long I'm going to have to look the old master in the face. Now, because of Jesus, what I wonder if Burley knew, I hope he knew, he's a fictional character, but I'm putting myself in the story there, is that we're not waiting to see Jesus face to face in heaven. Because of what Christ has done, because of everything we sang about this morning, we had the opportunity to be just like Zacchaeus was in that tree or wherever you find yourself this morning. Jesus is available to you and will rescue you, and you can look him in the face today. He is available to you. Salvation has come to Zacchaeus' house, and it has come to this house this morning or any other morning of the week if you will just let yourself be open to being saved, to being rescued. It is available in this city. That's why I signed up for this work, which I hope I'm a little better at than the Monavie bottles. Because I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, when I met Jesus, it changed me. And I know that it can be for you if it is not yet. Now, we can totally be the crowd that's hindering Zacchaeus from being able to see Jesus. And that pains me that is true, but we can be. But we can also be the very representation, the letters of recommendation, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians, of who Jesus is and the very reason that people are able to meet him. Not in our perfection, in our brokenness, in the fact that God has sent Jesus to rescue us in spite of who we really are, because God's love and great mercy can rescue us. This week, the Southern Baptist Convention elected J.D. Greer as its president, and J.D. Greer was interviewed a couple days later. He said this about the gospel. It's good news that Jesus died in our place to restore us to God and offers us abundant life in him through his resurrection, and that needs to be declared to every person on earth. I agree. And it's that word declared that we've got to search, that we've got to understand, that we've got to seek God's wisdom to know exactly what that looks like, because it is complex. It certainly means to stand up in a crowd and say what the gospel is, that it's good news. And I hope you've heard me say that this morning, because it is true. But it has to be so more finely nuanced than that. Because if we're saying it in one place, in one time in our life, but we're living differently, then we nullify the message coming from us and we confuse people, or we cause them to outright turn away. Because declared, it means proclaimed and shown. It means demonstrated, because faith without works is not just dead. It never was faith in the first place. It's not faith until it's demonstrated. That's why Zacchaeus had to go live like he was changed. That's why his practices about what he did with his money changing was such a big deal, so integral in this story. That's why when the 12-year-old girl was made well in the story we looked at last week, the text says that they fed her immediately, because she had a life to live, and so do you. It absolutely matters what we do from day to day. So I am so glad that you showed up this morning and you sit here and listen to me drone on. Because the power of the gospel that is represented in this story and every other story in the gospels that teaches us exactly who Jesus is and his great love and mercy for us is the power to change us, to rescue us, to give us exactly what we need so that those who don't know him yet can. And I pray that for each and every one of you this morning, that this will be a place that demonstrates God's great love and mercy to rescue the people in Nashville and throughout the rest of the world. So this morning, if you find yourself in a place where you have not heard this testimony from this text or how I've explained it very much in your life, I want you to know that the point in your life where you receive it, where you change, where it does transform you, it matters very much. And so this morning, you are extended an opportunity from this faith family, not just from me, from everybody in this room that calls Jesus Lord. To know that as well. We don't believe it's by accident that you've shown up this morning. So if you'll bow with me for a moment, I'd like to take a moment to pray for you. to pray for each of us. Lord, we do not take for granted, I do not take for granted that there are opposing forces in the world to your great love and mercy. And in those times in our lives when it's maybe difficult to see you for whatever reason, maybe it's other people that are crowding us, but that you still reach out your hand, that you still wander over our way, that you still call us to follow you, regardless of what we've done, regardless of how much pain we've brought our family or our community. There literally is nothing you have taught us that we can do to make you love us more or less. And I pray that we hear that this morning. And I pray that the way Zacchaeus' life was changed would open us up to the same transformation. Thank you for the way you love us. It's in your Son, Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.